The funeral was hitting me much harder than I had anticipated. It was only the feel of my mother's hand that comforted me at all. I just hoped that no one would notice that the hand was missing from the casket. It's a night of two-sentence tales of terror, plus some of the strangest and most unusual news from around the world. Why? Because that's what we do. We are the Paranormal 60 News. Good evening, darklings far and wide. Thank you for joining us here on the home for the very best in paranormal talk, conversation, radio, podcasting, programming, whatever you want to call it, from whatever age demographic you're at. This is the hippest place to be, or at least the place with the most people with hips most likely to go out. We are the Paranormal 60 News, and we are bringing you tonight into the action. Not only do you get to be a part of news stories from around the world, but we're also going to open up to the contest I threw out last week. It is two-sentence horror stories. We had over 90 submissions. I had some judges that were not part of our mix, that are not part of our regular show, go through it with the understanding of what the two-sentence horror story is. And they culled it down to about 32 stories we're going to share on tonight's show. Mainly because, well, if we did all 90, we would fill up the entire show just doing those stories, and some of them, you were so close, I think you misunderstood it. You were telling me real life experiences you had and trying to truncate them into two sentences or two very, very long, unabbreviated, no punctuation sentence. Your two sentence stories, if I'm being honest, really kind of come into almost like two paragraphs, but no punctuation. So that was on me, but that doesn't matter. We're going to have fun tonight. We've got those stories to share, and we will be announcing the winner tonight of the amazing prize that we have to offer. So stay tuned for that. I do want to make a quick mention for all of you that tuned in on Monday night's show. It was an introduction to the new true crime program that will be joining us on this platform, the Paranormal 60 Network, Mysteries, Mayhem, and Merlot podcast hosted by Winnie Schrader. And on Monday, we revisited an old interview that I actually did with Winnie, where we talked about her life and dealing with a true crime that affected her life in physical abuse in a relationship. Wanted to introduce you to her and why she has this fascination with true crime, trying to understand how the brain works, why people react or act in the way that they do. And I made a glaring mistake in that original episode stating that the new podcast will begin this Saturday. I was off by 1 week. It'll start the following week. So it's going to be the first Saturday in April. You'll be able to tune in, and every Saturday after, to the brand new podcast. Again, for those of you that missed it, it is Mysteries, Mayhem, and Merlot, where Winnie will be taking deep dives into the strange and unusual, mysterious people, mysterious crimes, missing people, and more. That'll begin on Saturday. I think it's April 4th. So make sure that you keep checking that out. It'll be automatically put into your feed if you are an audio listener, and you'll be able to find it here on the Paranormal 60 YouTube and network as well. Let me tell you one more exciting thing. Well, I got a lot of exciting things to tell you, but this one's pretty cool. I wanted to make a mention. I want to introduce you to our new line of shirts, the Scarrow Graphic Tees. That's right. Available only at the Paranormal 60 Swag Shop. The Paranormal 60 Swag Shop, the home for all the cool paranormal swag you need. Tarot-style cards of creatures like Mothman, aliens, Bigfoot, ghosts, Nessie, and more. And keep watching that page as it will be updated with more and more creations. If you're interested, go over to the Swag Shop now. Get your shirt. You can pick the colors, pick the designs, and make it your own. It's at the Paranormal 60 Swag Shop. That's how we're going to begin the show. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest American hero is back in the fold. He is somewhere hidden in a bunker trying to fend off alien invaders and zombie outbreaks. Ladies and gentlemen, the Colonel is back. Good evening.
How's it going, Dave? Hey, man, I need one of those shirts. Those shirts are just too cool.
Colonel, anything. You just say the word and we will have I'll have Helos come in and drop ship boxes of shirts for you.
Just drop ship it on the standard drop ship I get every day, you know. So
yeah, if you could, that'd be great. That along with all the Salisbury steak Hungry Man dinners I know they deliver to you over there as well.
Yeah, that secret came out, didn't it? Okay, well, yes, it
did. Ladies and gentlemen, Chachi has the night off. He might have multiple nights off. He is in the midst of a major move and dealing with things, but he sends his best, his love, and wants you all to know that he cares and misses you all and can't wait to get back into the fold and work along with us again here on the Paranormal 60 News. Thankfully, filling in for Chachi, our own part-timer, Greg Lawson.
Well,
hey, that's a handsome mug you got there, Greg. Where'd you get that?
Look, it even has texture. It's got texture. Oh. This is not like some, it's not like, some sticker. It's got texture to it. It's very
beautiful. Nice. Yeah, that's the Paranormal 60 Big Dumb Cup. Make sure you get one for yourself. Speaking of big dumb cups, we know somebody who's been working diligently all day trying to mix up the perfect concoction of alcohol and more alcohol. Ladies and gentlemen, Sweet Tea is in the house. Are you?
Wow, look at there.
What drink have you created for us this evening on the Paranormal 60 News?
This is something my mom made me, and she calls it a chocolate martini. I'm not sure if that's what it is, but
no. Did you by any chance at any point see her tapping powder into it?
No.
Are you going to be unconscious halfway through the show?
Possibly. Yeah. I don't know you know what? It was a shaker.
Yeah, well, that's always a telltale sign there could be bad things coming. But you've got the drink up. Chocolate martini is what it's called. You're taking your mom's word for it. Did you create this masterpiece into one of your videos that people can find online?
Of course I did. Go check out my things and watch my mom do that stuff.
Wait, you this week your mom is in the video?
Yeah, she made me the drink. I think I just said that.
Wow. Well, yeah, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you filmed her. Wow.
It's a little warm in here.
Yes, somebody's very crabby, very elegant looking tonight, though.
Thank you.
I was talking to the Colonel.
I know.
You're all right, too, Sweetie. That's great. Yeah, very cool. Let's get started. And we also have a brand new Paratune a little bit later. We're going to do the new review of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. But before we do that, last week I tasked you guys with going and watching the 1985 classic movie Creator.
Yes.
And I'm wondering how many of you tuned in and checked that movie out.
I forgot.
Oh.
I did.
You watched it, Greg?
I watched it.
All right. So what was your thoughts on the Peter O'Toole, Virginia Madsen classic sci-fi film from 1985, Creator?
Was Virginia Madsen in it?
Yeah.
Did you watch the right movie, Greg?
I think so. Was she the nymphomaniac?
No, that was Muriel Hemingway.
Which movie did you end up watching, Greg?
I didn't know who the other person was. I was
she's kind of one of the big main characters of the movie. Did you watch the whole movie, Greg?
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Were you in the Folsom movie theater?
I liked it. Yeah, you know, I might have been in the Folsom theater.
Did you fall asleep halfway through? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
I really liked the movie, though.
All right.
I woke up. My pants were on. I didn't know what was going on.
Hold on, gentlemen. One at a time. Finish up, Greg. What?
Yeah, I just said I woke up. My pants were unbuttoned. I didn't know what was happening.
Okay. We don't.
Awkward. Awkward. No. And I interrupted the Colonel for that. I'm sorry, Colonel. What were you saying?
I was going to say, hey, Greg, did the movie happen to say trailer and last a minute and 30 seconds long?
Good question. You know, I saw that part.
Oh, okay.
So
just wondering.
All right. Well, if any of you listeners out there, you viewers, people that actually like me in the show and the suggestions I make, if you saw the movie Creator, if you're watching the YouTube video, tell me what your thoughts were on the 1985 classic. If you agree with me that it is a beautiful movie, or if you think it was absolute trash. And if it was absolute trash, you're probably wrong. Let's get to the news of the week, though, because we've got a lot of stuff to bustle through. And we've been, how many, show of hands, how many people here have been to France?
Yeah. How many people have been to France with Dave Schrader?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Chachi was too. You should have been there, sweetie. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, man, that's great.
Yeah, a lot of fun. Well, as we know, by being in France, there are so many historic and amazing stories that are taking place, and you just don't know what could be underfoot at any time. Well, apparently in the town of Dijon this week, we found out exactly what's underfoot.
Look at that.
That's right, history buffs and curious minds alike. Hold on to your hats, because we've got some thrilling news straight from the heart of France. Archaeologists have been digging up a storm beneath the charming streets of Dijon, uncovering a treasure trove of medieval marvels. You guys like all the alliteration I put into this tonight? Mm-hmm. So picture this. Sandstone sarcophagi peeking out from the earth, whispering tales of a bygone era. Yeah, you heard it right. These ancient coffins, dating back over 1,200 years, have emerged from their slumber right under the downtown hustle and the bustle of the town known as Dijon. The National Institute. Huh? Yeah, hustle and bustle, both of them.
Wow.
The National Institute of Preventative Archaeological Research, also known as INRAP, spilled the beans in a recent press release. Turns out the excavations around the Church of Saint Jean have been a goldmine of historic gems. Just think of trapezoidal sandstone sarcophagi, characteristic of the Mergovian period. That's 6th to 8th century for Hugh Rubes that don't know. Or if you're heading out time traveling, that's the era you kind of want to shoot for.
Mergovian.
Okay? Yeah. Yeah. But wait, there's more, my friends. A limestone sarcophagus with skeletons nestled inside hints at a story older than the hills themselves, dating back to the 5th century. This stone coffin has definitely seen its share of history. Now, Dijon wasn't just any old city in medieval ages. It was a fortified town with a necropolis housing secrets beyond imagination. Besides the sarcophagi, the archaeologists have uncovered tombs, stone slabs, and a plethora of child burials spanning the 11th to 13th centuries. After the 15th century, the necropolis shrunk to a single area south of the Church of Saint Jean, holding burials that might even whisper tales as far back as the 18th century. So, dear listeners, next time you stroll through the charming streets of Dijon, remember, beneath your feet lies a rich tapestry of macabre history.
Hey, that,
what was that roll call at the beginning for, just to like call me out for never being to France? Is that it? You just want to like...
Wow.
Still thinking about that. Still holding on to that.
Yeah. It's a grudgy Grudgerton. Just let it go, for God's sakes.
Let's move on.
What is in that chocolate drink of yours, anyways?
I know. It's filled with bitters. Lots of bitters.
A lot of bitters. Yeah. It looks like they were picking up that sarcophagi and putting it into a roll off dumpster there.
They don't have room for it now. These things are old. Who wants them? Bunch of dead bodies and bones. Wow. It's amazing, though, in all of these places, how many of these secrets are being revealed now due to things like, of course, reconstruction and retooling of the streets. But also, you've got a lot of natural disasters with some of the heavy rains that some of these countries have had, earthquakes unearthing entire lost civilizations right underneath their feet, ruins they didn't even know existed. It's remarkable. I kind of feel like the world is one giant etch-a-sketch, and about every 25,000 years, God just picks it up and shakes the living out of it. Right. And then we just restart.
It's a family show. It's a family show.
That's what I said. He didn't say it yet. You know, if you were my teacher in high school and you would have like explained it to me that way, I probably would have passed whatever class they talk about.
On the class.
Right. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy.
Sure. No problem.
I'm here to help. I'm an educator.
You are. Yeah. You are.
Really?
Yeah. When we were in France and we were getting a chance to see the history and the mysteries that unfolded there before us, and remember, we were there, wasn't it Notre Dame had just caught fire? Just
burnt down, yeah.
We were there together.
Yeah.
And, that's what it means when he meant we were there.
We couldn't find Chachi while it was burning, which is still weird to me. Anybody else think that's weird?
Yeah.
But they did uncover a lot of things. somebody took herself off. Is that what just happened? Wow. She must really need another hit of Choco Martini.
She's a little bitter about the France thing.
Wait till she hears the song. Oh man. There.
Oh yeah. Oh. Anyway, so France was amazing, beautiful place, but they found and uncovered a bunch of things with that fire in Notre Dame as well. And found, I think, wasn't there like a burial space they didn't even know about that was found after that fire was kind of after they cleaned up about that, Greg? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it turns out that they did find the burial grave of the Beast of Gévaudan.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah.
You could ask me that same question there, Dave.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Did you get the Jardin de Plantes? I don't think so.
You did what? Your pants? Can we bring Sweet Tea back on and class this thing up? We're going to move away from France now.
I don't think she wants to come.
Let's not talk about France when she comes back on.
We won't talk anymore about that, about us hanging out together.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you. What we could do, though, is when she comes back, we will let her know that the out theme has been officially fixed. That is right. Greg, the paranormal detective Lawson, along with Blind Dog Magoo, I can never remember his last name. Blind Dog Magoo have come together to put right what once was wrong. Now I'm going to see if I can get my buddy Bart L to fix the intro and insert Sweet Tea into that. He's been kind of incommunicado, which I'm not sure what that means, but it sounds really kind of cool.
That's important. Anyway,
we're going to have her added back into the opening for news as well, since apparently, like a rash, she just keeps showing up week after week.
Wow.
We love her for that. We love her for that.
Wow. Wonder where she went.
She's backstage. Oh,
thank you.
I love hanging out with you guys in France. Let's do it again.
Oh, God. Yeah. You know what? I'd like to congratulate you all on not saying any mustard puns at all. That's great. And I think that's great for you.
Are you in Tiger King's trailer?
Don't look at my shame. Don't look at my shame.
Tiger Kings. I think your microphone might have switched while you were off, Sweet Tea, because you're sounding a little far back. So I'll let you worry about that while I go into this next thing. This has got me worried. Remember when they were talking about CERN and that they were going to do this big experiment and people were worried that we were going to tear open holes in time and space and create the end of the world? Do you remember that? What was that, 10 years ago?
Greg?
No.
Yeah, about 10 years ago.
Wow, sorry, crickets. You guys are so on top of these stories. Tark
is just killing it, man.
It's remarkable. Let's talk about something to me that seems maybe even more nerve-wracking. And I want to take this into a different place when we're done discussing this. But breaking news, a giant quantum vortex unveiling black hole secrets has been created.
Holy hell. You heard
that right. Scientists have just unlocked a key to understanding the enigmatic black holes lurking in our cosmos, all thanks to a groundbreaking experiment with a giant quantum vortex. Led by Patrick Svankata from the University of Nottingham, researchers have crafted an extraordinary setup using superfluid helium to mimic the behaviors of these cosmic behemoths. Now, imagine, gentlemen and Sweet Tea, imagine, if you will, a swirling vortex nestled within superfluid helium, chilled to temperatures colder than your wildest dreams or perhaps your nightmares. That's where the magic happens, my friends. By observing these tiny waves on the vortex surface, akin to those near a rotating black hole, scientists delve into the mysteries of these cosmic giants for the first time, cooling liters of superfluid helium to a mind-boggling negative 271 degrees Celsius.
Cold, man.
Yeah, it's almost like winter in Minnesota. Researchers create conditions where quantum mechanics reign supreme. And in this bizarre state of matter, it's home to these minuscule entities called quantum vortices, behaving unlike anything we've ever seen before, according to the scientists. In the setup, thousands of quantum vortices are corralled into a compact tornado, boasting record-breaking strength within the realm of quantum fluids. As researchers watch this vortex flow, they're stunned by its resemblance to the gravitational influence exerted by black holes on their surroundings. So this isn't just any experiment. This is a real leap into the unknown, the true final frontier. So by simulating complex physics akin to those near black holes, scientists hope to unravel the secrets of this cosmic phenomena. From breakthroughs in 2017 to today's cutting-edge research, the journey continues. The team's latest findings, detailed in the journal Nature, mark a significant step toward understanding the elusive nature of black holes. And I have to ask, and I promise, I don't mean this tongue-in-cheek at all. If we are finding a way to create something this powerful that it actually bends space-time, how far off are we from using this in a weaponized way?
Oh, why else would they explore it? That's the first thing that we do.
I'm serious. I think...
I am too.
We are not far from the black hole wars, right? Where it's just like, Putin, he's out of control. He's like, at least we can get Russia, whatever they say in Russian.
Yeah.
And then we just like flip a switch and a vortex opens up next to him and
Wow. Gone.
Wow, he's gone. Do you see that?
I do know Dave. He's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. You know, that almost looks like those one-wheeled skateboards that they ride in Austin that Greg has given numerous tickets to those kids riding those things down.
The little hoverboards?
Yeah. Don't they?
Oh, the little ball things?
I'm talking serious war nature here, and you guys are worried about what kids are riding out on the streets these days.
I'm not worried about it. I'm 5 days in a wake up, dude.
Well, that's true. You're getting
your ticket book is done, been put away.
It is bent and
Greg's out with his radar gun aiming it at snails on the sidewalk as cars are ripping past at 200 miles an hour. He's like, ain't got time for that.
I've never had
seen what happens to guys that are close to retiring in the police force in movies. You now just gotta stay cool right now.
Yeah.
April 1st, Greg, the paranormal detective Lawson, will be officially Greg, the unemployed paranormal detective Lawson.
Yeah.
April Fool's Day. I planned this many years ago.
Yep. You win. You win it all.
Buddy. Thanks.
But going back to this, I mean, it's interesting. They want to see what happens, how it affects. And I'm wondering, is this more experimental into weaponry? Is it more experimental into time travel? Do you think that those two are playing any part in what they're doing with this, or is this just the equivalent of how many times a spider monkey masturbates when it's frightened, which we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to understand? It's a true thing. You can look it up. It makes no sense to me, but we spent hundreds of thousands of dollars clapping our hands to watch spider monkeys real quick. Yeah. It's like, why are we wasting money on this? Just for fun. It's like the old, how many licks does it take to get to the center of a Tootsie Roll? And they're like, no, let's take this one step further with spider monkeys. Is that what you're saying? Sweet tea. Is that what you're pontificating?
No, that's what you just said. I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, bitter again.
Yeah, she is
weird.
So, what do you guys think? Time travel or weaponization or
weaponization?
Something else?
Weaponization.
Colonel?
Anything that'll keep us safe in some form or fashion.
Do you think we're just going to are we going to get a president who, instead of putting up walls and borders, is going to put up giant vortices, black holes? Mm. So when you try to get in, you're sucked into and then shot straight through to Canada.
Or worse yet.
That's pretty cool.
More money into the spider monkey research. That
it does free up some money, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hey, stay tuned, kids, because we've got two-sentence horror stories coming up from you, the listeners and followers. Why does my voice keep cracking like that? I threw up a little contest on the Dave Schrader all-inclusive fan group, which is not self-serving at all. It is the Dave Schrader all-inclusive fan group on Facebook. You can join for free. Did you hear that, folks? Free. The Dave Schrader all-inclusive fan club. Go join up. Follow along. I'm going to be throwing out contests every now and again. And I don't know. We might have some fun ones coming up, so check it out. But last week I threw one up, said that we're going to review them this week, and we had to pare down 89 stories down to 32 that I'm going to present here in a little bit. The four of us will judge them and judge you, the authors, by doing so, of course, and then pick the winner. And the winner gets an amazing gift that I forgot in the other room. So during a commercial break, I'll run in and grab it and bring it in. Although, I don't know, I'm half tempted to let go of this sweet-ass piece. Have you guys ever seen anything like this? It is a chakra spaghetti ladle. A chakra stone pasta noodle ladle.
Wow.
Thing.
You know, all the carbs you need to balance.
Is that what it is? It's balancing carbs, marinara, and positivity. Yeah. So maybe I'll auction this bad boy off on my Facebook page.
I'll give you 20 for it right now.
Yeah. You'll give me 24 bucks for it right now?
Right now.
How much now that I put my nose in the pasta?
No, I don't want it. I don't want it.
You guys know what the pasta hole is for? It's not putting your nose in, but does anybody know?
It's to measure the pasta.
Wow.
Very good, sweet tea. A lot of people don't know that. This right here, the hole.
Men don't know that.
You take the pasta, put it in the hole, and that's one serving. So if you're going to serve yourself, you put the pasta in that hole. That's how much pasta you need. If you're going to do it for a family of eight, you need a pasta ladle about this big with a hole about this big.
You can do it eight times.
Individual times.
You guys are idiots. Who's got time to do it eight times? Look at this. It's a chakra pasta ladle.
That's amazing.
Amazing. I love it. If you want it, email me, DaveParanormal60.com. Throw out your highest bid. Next week, I'll tell you who the winner is. And then you make the payment. You
know,
the spaghetti ladle. Yeah. DaveParanormal60.com. We have got to take a quick break. We will come back. I promise. And when we come back, we've got ghost stories. We've got secrets. Maybe the Colonel will get an actual connection on government money that'll stay with us and stop dropping them every 20, 30 seconds. Yeah. Oh, and let me remind you something very exciting, folks.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah. I put together a little something special. I like to call it Dave's little package. And if you'd like to get your hands on my little package, this is what you can do.
You can
get my book, The Other Side, and my brand new book, Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness. Both of them, signed copies, $40 for the pair. It is $30 for the autographed Theater of the Mind, $20 for the other side. You get both for $40 plus shipping and handling. If you would like to get your hands on my little package, just head on over to theparanormal60.com. Click on the shop tab at the very top, and there you're going to find it. Just scroll down until you see my little package, and that's what you want to click on. Make sure that you get your hands on my package quick, because I don't know how long they're going to be there. That's what you need to do. So go take advantage of it. Get both books for an amazing savings. Right now. What are you waiting for? Paranormal60.com. Okay, my little darklings. I know. Just by looking at me, you think that guy does not work out. Well, you'd be right. And aside from just looking at me and knowing I don't work out, I was quickly reminded of the fact that I don't work out because I've got subscriptions to not one, not two, but three different apps to help me maintain my weight and get in shape and feel better. Three apps that I worked diligently when I first signed up for them for about a week and then forgot all about them. But thankfully, Rocket Money didn't forget about them. I'd forgotten all about three, not one, not two, but three different subscriptions to three different organizations. And here I am, still dumb, still fat, and losing money every month without even paying attention to it. I think some of you out there might understand the predicament I'm in, and that's why you need to get Rocket Money. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions. It monitors your spending, and it helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over all of my subscriptions and a clear view of exactly where my money is going. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved now a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year. when using all of the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/P60. That's rocketmoney.com/P60. rocketmoney.com/P60.
In winter's grasp, a chilling tale unfolds. Wanted Magazine's issue 40, Secrets to be Told. Al Capone's ghost, in shadows it creeps. A spectral mobster, where darkness seeps. 14 signs of a poltergeist's might. Haunting whispers in the silent night. Pascagoula UFO, 50 years gone by. A cosmic encounter, reaching the sky. The ghost train of Tate Bridge, echoes in the mist. A phantom journey, where souls exist. Wanted Magazine issue 40 is out now. Available from selected outlets and bit.ly/wantedmagazine. Don't be normal, be paranormal.
All right. Welcome back to the program. I'm Dave Schrader. I'm your host. Along with me, the Intrepid Paranormal 60 News crew, as we talk about the week's news, break down those stories, chat a little bit about them. But before we go into the next story, guys, usually we do our Upon Further Review, where we go back and examine movies, TV series, things that have slipped under the radar or you may not be familiar with, to reinvigorate the interest in some of Hollywood's legendary films that have been lost. But we found them. However, tonight's a little different. Tonight, I bring to you something that I absolutely could not wait to see, something I've been excited to share, and I got a chance to go see it last night. It is the, what now, fourth installment in the Ghostbusters series, the second installment in the reboot, reimagining, reopening of the Ghostbusters franchise. This is Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
For the first time in New York history, a room full of people froze to death in July.
It's an unimaginable evil with the power to kill by fear itself.
Like, literally scared to death?
Now it's headed straight for us.
Is something trying to get out?
Many things.
It's commanding an army of the undead.
I think we're all going to die.
Hold on your ass!
This could bring about the end of humankind.
Disgusting.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire is officially in theaters this Friday nationwide, released by Sony Pictures. What do you say? I loved it. This movie lived up to every expectation, and I think even exceeded them from what I was hoping to find. It was truly a great little movie. They bring back all, of course, the original Ghostbusters cast and crew. So they're all back for it. You get to see some cool fan service. You get to see a couple of people from some of the early movies that you totally forgot about, but are brought back in a great way. And they've made this one kind of a cool hybrid of, it's a little bit more scary, and it's a little, you know, I don't want to give too much away, but it's a really perfect amalgam of what you'd want to see in these movies. I'm going to give Ghostbusters Frozen Empire 5 Phantoms.
Wow.
Yeah. You know why? Because it's hard to live up to a legend. And mm-hmm. I feel like Ivan Reitman's son took over the directing of these films, Jason Reitman. And I feel like they got the right guy for the job. He knows what this is. He knows how to work with these people. This movie is dedicated to the memory of Ivan Reitman. The first one, last movie, the Afterlife, Ghostbusters Afterlife, of course, dedicated to the memory of Harold Ramis. This one to Ivan Reitman, and wow, that's all I'm going to say. These are really fun, enjoyable movies. There were people there from every age group, every race, everything. And people were totally into the movie. There were literally laugh out loud moments and other moments when you were just like, whoa, and it was great. So Five Phantoms, go and see it. Bring the family. Maybe kids 10 and under, maybe you go see it first and decide, because there are some creepy context to this. And then there's some cute little, like the little mini Stay Puft Marshmallow guys are back, as you saw in the trailer. So there are some cute little family friendly elements, but they definitely, the big bad in this is really creepy. So goes beyond a kind of an erotic, you know, chick in a tight leotard evil doer that knows her. Did you see those movies at all?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this one kind of unveils the new character. What?
I said, Greg, you want to go this weekend with me to that movie?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Cool. I'll meet you at the AMC.
Okay.
It's nice to know that even since high school, Greg has not exactly known what to do when a woman speaks to him.
Nobody, yes.
Yeah, movie? Me? Okay. I like it. Okay. All right, let's get back to it. We've got more news stories to cover, and I want to make sure we can get them all in while we've got the chance. Yeah. Let me see here. Our next story. Yeah, what? Greg, did you have something important?
32. You have 32 submissions to get through in 28 minutes.
You need to stop worrying about that. Let me just handle things.
Right. Look at this.
Unveiling the mystery, ghostly encounters before death. Of course, we know death often feels like a distant concept until it touches us personally. But what if I told you that in the final moments before crossing over, a wide swath of people experience visits from their departed loved ones? It's a phenomenon that sparked curiosity among professionals from various fields. And you might dismiss it as mere imagination, but for many receiving end-of-life care, seeing deceased relatives or friends is more than just a passing dream. A study by scientists at Canisius College revealed that these end-of-life dreams and visions are surprisingly common. The science behind these encounters, though, still remains elusive. According to Dr. Sam Parnia, the director of critical care and resuscitation research at NYU School of Medicine, admits that consciousness is the dying process. That's still very much a mystery. Could it be a trick of the brain's electrical activity, or perhaps a deeper connection to the unknown? While scientists like Christoph Koch delve into the brain's electrical activity during death, psychiatrist Bruce Grayson and philosopher Raymond Moody explore the profound implications of these near-death experiences known as NDEs. Their work delves into a realm where science meets spirituality. To those experiencing these encounters, they're not frightening spectacles, but rather sources of comfort and reassurance. Hospital chaplain David Harrison recounts how these visitations bring peace and even joy to those nearing the end of their lives. As loved ones, our role isn't to dissect the science behind these encounters, but to embrace and support those experiencing them. Now, neuropsychiatrist Dr. Peter Fenwick suggests that these visions may stem from strong heart-driven desires, highlighting the importance of compassion, empathy, and understanding. In the moments like these, renowned grief researcher David Kessler advises us to lean in, to listen, and to explore alongside our loved ones. Instead of denying their reality, let's join them on this profound journey, offering comfort and companionship every step of the way. In the twilight between life and death, mysteries abound, but one thing remains certain, that love transcends even the boundaries of this world. And that, I think, is a great and fascinating story. I love the fact that science is examining this. And the one takeaway from this is, it's not so much about, is it happening? But let's embrace the moment with the person that it's happening for. Instead of discounting it or putting them off, just trying to be in that moment. There is something, and I've talked about it throughout the years, but I'd like to bring it back up because a lot of people may have missed these moments. There are things called shared deathbed visitations, meaning that the living, you, the healthy person sitting at the side of that person that you're about to say goodbye to, has the same experience and witnesses these spirits coming in. So maybe if you remain open to that, holding hands and being a part of that moment with your loved one, it will open that experience for them as well. Very cool. Have you guys ever been with somebody that's in that moment of crossing and starts to see or starts telling you about different things that they're witnessing and seeing?
Not,
go ahead, Greg.
When my mother passed, just previous, within, I guess, probably 6 hours or so, she was talking about, the man on the train, and she pointed out into the hallway that that's where the train was. And there was a man standing there at the door waiting for her. And then there was a little boy as well, waiting for her to go on the train with them. And my brother was talking to her, and he said, "Well, you know, are you scared of them?" She's like, "No." "Do you know who they are?" She was like, "I don't know who they are, but they're waiting for me to get on the train with them." And then they wrapped up, and all my family left, and I ended up making it there, right like 3 or 4 minutes before she passed.
Wow.
And so I was there then, but yeah. So this is a common thing.
Yeah. Colonel, how about you? Have you ever been with somebody as they're crossing over?
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, as they were crossing over, they didn't really say anything like in Greg's situation, but you could tell they were somewhere else. They weren't there. You know, they were facial expressions and just certain things that they would do gave you the idea that they were somewhere. They were looking at something and they were somewhere else, you know?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
That's comforting. How about you, sweetie?
No, I mean, I was there like the day before my grandmother died, and it's same with the colonel. Like, she wasn't there. And I feel like that's part of it. I feel like the universe is like, you don't need to be in pain and all this other stuff. Just like relax and enjoy the view right now. Mm-hmm. It's fine. Everything's going to be great.
Yeah. And I've said, being there with my mom, she was seeing animals, and she loved animals so much. This is, I think, a funny element to this. You know, my mom loves true crime, right? So in her final days, she was watching a lot of true crime TV. And finally, one of the employees took me and my dad aside, and they're like, "Could you turn that off and find something else?" And we're like, "Why?" "She loves true crime." He goes, "Yeah, but the problem is, the further they're slipping into this, their brain is not firing on all pistons. And we've had people start hearing this and thinking we're trying to murder them."
Oh, no.
And I was like, "Oh my God, that's right. Oh, well, I guess so." Yeah. My dad and I are like, "Okay." And I go, "How about Animal Planet? My mom loves animals." And he's like, "That's perfect." So I turn on Animal Planet, and it goes, "We'll be back on Animal Planet with Creatures Inside My Body right after this." And I looked at my dad, and we just burst out laughing. And he goes, "Can't win. We just can't win. Turn on Judge Judy. Let's go to Judge Judy." That was the end all be all for it. Deb from SAC throws $10 our way and says, "Dave, will you do a French accent for us?" "Oh, but of course, my friend. Why don't you ask? I would be happy to do an entire episode doing a French accent." Oh,
you don't need to do that.
I don't know. Maybe 5 minutes of it.
I was really, I was in the zone, man.
Mm. Yeah. Hey, hang on. Paranormal Pixie.
Hold on. Let me talk about the one I have up on screen first. Sure. Kel H makes a $33 donation to the show tonight in honor of my brother's birthday. He took his life in December of 2022. He would have been 33 today. He would have loved the subject of tonight's show. Don't be sad for us. Celebrate his life and everything he did for us while we had him. Kel, thank you for being here with us and sharing that part of your story and his with us. And we hope that he's still listening and enjoying the show with you tonight. All right, go ahead, Greg. What have you got for us?
So Paranormal Pixie said that she was with her grandmother when she passed, and that she was describing seeing people that were deceased family members coming into her room to greet her.
Yeah,
as she was passing. So it's not unusual.
That's pretty cool. But is our brain retaining like a card catalog of all of the people that we've ever met? And kind of referencing those, is that almost part of the the afterlife review that people talk about. Maybe it's not in the way we think it is, where you're forced to sit painfully in a very old 1980s movie theater where the seats are erect and uncomfortable, forced to watch garbage on the screen unfold like Gigli and make your way through it. So maybe it begins in those last moments. Maybe it's the visitations and the opening of your mind and memories to those moments.
I don't think it's a memory at all, but go ahead, Greg.
Well, you hear people say, I had flashback, you know, I had my life flashed before me or whatever. Well, if you just twist that just a little bit and think about Matrix and go, okay, well, done here. Now here comes the download. And you see your life flash before you. You know, is it more, software design, or is it something?
Well, it's not a memory of people comforting as you pass on to a different dimension or however you want to feel about it. It's people coming to comfort you and saying, hey, it's all good. You are welcome here and you're going to have a great time once you get out of your skin sack. Let's go. It's not a memory.
Well, that's speaking in absolutes, though. We don't know that for certain, that's not what's happening.
And that's what I love to do.
I know.
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't think it's a memory. That's all.
Okay. But do you think it's a memory is, I guess, what I'm asking you.
Oh, no, I don't know if I was there. I don't think
it's No, you weren't. Thanks for clarifying that. I think are we all on the same path that Sweet Tea thinks it's nothing more than just memories coming back to the surface as you die? Yeah, you're number one, too.
It's like a Rolodex. It's a Rolodex.
Oh, do that again. When you were drinking, your lips didn't move, but yet words still came out of Greg's mouth. You are an amazing ventriloquist.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Pretty good. Yeah. All right. So this is, listen, I was just on Coast to Coast AM this weekend with George Knapp, and I was really pleased and surprised that he wanted me to weigh in on the big report that was just released from AARO about UFOs. And I wasn't sure exactly where he was going to take me in this because he is very big into the paranormal, especially when it comes to UFOs. So I said what my thoughts were on it, and I was happy to find that he agreed with me. And for those of you that might have missed the information that came out, we are unlocking the UFO enigma, the government's secrets, at least, in a world where the truth is often stranger than fiction, my friends. The recent release of this Department of Defense report on UFOs has sparked some intrigue and a whole hell of a lot of controversy. Delving deep into the decades of government involvement with UAP phenomena, the unidentified aerial phenomena, the report from the Pentagon's All Domain Anomaly Resolution Office promised to shed light on one of the most enduring mysteries of our time. And instead, I kind of feel like they just pooped in a waste paper basket and handed it to us.
Yep. Very descriptive.
Yeah. As with any government disclosure, the devil's in the details. And the report, while comprehensive overall, has raised a lot of eyebrows due to notable omissions and misrepresentations. To understand the gravity of the findings I'm talking about, we have to rewind to the very beginning of the U.S. government's interest in UFOs, my friends. In 1947, Lieutenant General Nathan Twining's memo marked a pivotal moment, affirming the reality of UFOs and their perplexing flight characteristics. This memo in 1947 laid the groundwork for decades of official investigation into this enigmatic phenomena. Now we fast forward into the later 40s, early 50s, where reports of metallic discs and fiery orbs suddenly gripped the nation. And despite these early sightings, AARO's report fails to acknowledge the significant historical analysis conducted during that period, including a comprehensive, significant historical analysis and study by the Battelle Memorial Institute. This omission itself, very glaring, as the Battelle analysis revealed that a third of UFO sightings remained unexplained, contrary to what AARO's portrayal is in this new report. Moreover, recent encounters reported by naval aviators remain unaddressed, casting doubt on AARO's conclusions. Witness recounts harrowing near collisions with spherical objects displaying extraordinary flight capabilities, leaving experts baffled and searching for answers, still doesn't seem to ring any kind of mystery to the AARO. So while the AARO does dismiss claims of extraterrestrial technology and reverse engineering, dissenting voices within the intelligence community, such as Christopher Mellon, paint a totally different picture. Their assertions, coupled with ongoing congressional scrutiny, underscore the need for further investigation. So as lawmakers grapple with the implications of these revelations, the public, us, the darklings around the world, we're clamoring for more transparency and accountability, and calls for a congressional select UAP committee grow louder, signaling a shift towards greater oversight and disclosure. In the midst of this uncertainty, one thing remains clear. The truth behind UFO encounters still remains elusive, tantalizingly just out of reach, either by design or fault. I'm not sure. Now, as we navigate this labyrinth of secrets and speculation, the quest for answers continues, driving us even closer to unraveling the mysteries of the cosmos. And I was so incensed by this report. It's a 63-page report that was just released, and it was utter nonsense. It was just so dismissive. And I mean, when we're asking one element of the government to police itself and report back, how are we going to get real information? That to me seems to be the inherent problem with this. It's like we need a third party investigative team to evaluate the government's interference in this spectrum. And again, when you just come out and summarily dismiss, listen, nothing extraterrestrial. We've never back engineered it. There's no proof of any of this. And they totally discount everything that's come before it, including all of the actual documents from our government investigations. I said it. I think we all were in agreement that we really feel like this is more just spinning wheels and something to distract us from something else. And it certainly seems to be coming to fruition. What are your thoughts on it, Greg? Let's start your way.
Well, you said it all. You know, when you imagine a cop going into a family violence situation and telling the husband, "Hey, I tell you what, I got some stuff to do. I want you to investigate this and tell me what happened," and walk out. That is what has happened. That's what happened in Roswell. That's what is happening here. There needs to be a third party to mediate all of this and to be someone there to evaluate the evidence to determine whether it's supportive or not. And that's the big problem with this. And I think you're onto something, Dave. I think it is a distraction type of thing because of all of the other crazy stuff that the government is doing right now, including spending our money like crazy. They're doing it right in our face and nobody's doing anything about it. I don't know what this is all about. So,
Sweet Tea, what are your thoughts?
You know, you said a few weeks ago that maybe it's just better off that citizens don't know the full truth. And I think they're just going to run with that forever and ever and ever. We're never going to get anything. We're going to get what breadcrumbed by the government forever. They're going to give us something and they'll be like, did that really happen though? They're never going to do. Why would they? They have no reason to tell us anything.
Let me flip that on itself then, because then here we have the believers. We have ex-military, ex-informants, whistleblowers that are coming forward saying this is all true. A lot of people believe that it is because we are nearing a possible extinction point for our race and that the aliens do exist. If they're not under control, why aren't they just making themselves known worldwide? You know, the whole thing of, well, the government's not going to let us know about this. Why is it up to the government to let us know? Why aren't the visitors, if they're so benevolent, why aren't they just making their presence known?
I mean, probably the same reason the government. They know that we're a bunch of idiots. I don't know.
Good answer. I like that one. Thank you.
Well, there is to a degree, and I get your point on that, but I think there's a way to, I don't know. It just seems to me if these beings have been visiting our planet or are here and have always been amongst us, the way to bring people together is by having a common foe, if you will. That's what Reagan and Gorbachev talked about back in the 80s, right? Was the fact that what's going to take the world coming together is a true threat from alien interference. I would think the world, you know, a big portion of the world became Americans on 9/11. There were people in many different countries that were that were mourning along with us that day. And yeah. And it did bring people together, and it brought people together in this country because we had one common enemy at that point. And it just seems to me that if the aliens are that smart and benevolent, and they are amongst us, that they would know a safe way to get themselves seen. Showing up at a kid's cancer center and just curing cancer would be a great way to start. You know, doing something that's going to bring enlightenment and help people, I think, is a good way to begin. And they're not underneath the control of the government. And in my opinion, and I could be wrong, they have the ability to knock out our weapons should they need to, because they've already displayed that with their turning off missile silos and powering down nuclear facilities. So I don't know. What do you think there, Colonel?
I don't know. I mean, first of all,
why? We just stop right there. That might've been the greatest answer. I don't know.
I mean, why would the government want to continue to hide this whole UFO situation to begin with? And secondly, why, if the aliens are there, why would they want to let us know they're there, knowing the fact that we like to destroy whatever we don't understand anyways? So, I mean, we have enough enemies in the world already. If anything, I would think that us all agreeing on one thing would probably help us out in the long run. And that one thing could be that there are aliens out there. Again, that's going to throw out a whole new thinking about, okay, are they there to kill us? Are they there to be nice to us? Are they there to cure cancer? You know, but I think, you know, really the aliens don't really want us to know that they're there. I mean, the few times that we've caught them on film, it's, they're not coming over to us saying, hey, you know, we're here. How you doing?
But for beings that don't want us to know they're here, they show up a lot. You know, whether you want to believe in all the anal probing claims or just the fact that they're videotaped, photographed all the time. It's like they don't care.
Right, maybe, they don't care. That's the bottom line.
Right, but it just seems like if they're already making themselves known, why not just do it in a more concrete way?
Because they don't care. Like,
well, then they're not benevolent beings.
Well, that's what I was going to say.
They're neutral. How about they're neutral? Like, they don't need to, like, help us. They don't need to hurt us. They're just, like, checking stuff out.
Are they just waiting? Is it like they're gentrifying a new territory? They're just kind of, they're checking out Cabrini Green, planet Earth, and going, yeah, these guys are going to burn themselves into a rut soon. And then once they're gone, we can take this planet. It's going to be a good one, and we can rebuild
here. Wait them out.
They're unethical real estate agents. That is correct. Yes.
Unethical aliens, unethical real estate agents. If you happen to be an alien or an unethical real estate agent, email me, dave@paranormal60.com. I would love to chat with you either on air or off air. Not you unethical real estate agents. Trust me. I've known enough of those. But if I could get somebody who really believes they're an alien and they want to share their story and talk to me and explain why you and your beings, you and your friends aren't making yourself more publicly known, and not just to the political heads who are obvious jackasses and can't be trusted, but to the public, to a mass support behind you. I think we're a lot more developed than you think we are. And I think that you'll see that we can work together in a better way if there is a way to present it. And I would be happy to be an ambassador for that.
I would love that for you.
Wow, that's good of you there, Dave.
And you know another thing that brings us together?
It's time now for Paratunes. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Let's listen to a brand new song by Dead as Dimitri, and this is Alien Abduction.
I was just minding my own business, walking to the store. Yeah.
Like it.
Good. I like it.
Good job.
Dead as Dimitri almost has kind of a cross between Aha and Freddie Mercury's voice.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That's exactly.
Isn't it sad that I know Freddie Mercury's name, but not the lead singer of Aha? He just is the Aha guy. I like that one. What do you guys think?
I like it. Super I like fun. It.
Great.
I would like to acknowledge something kind of amazing that happened a little bit earlier on.
Wow.
Guess what? Somebody got their hands on my little package. Edward Selmanson, thank you for purchasing and grabbing a hold of my package, because you're going to be the first one to get this one. That's right. My book bundle. You get The Other Side, A Guide to Ghost Hunting and the Paranormal, and Theater of the Mind, Tales from the Darkness. Both books for just $40 plus shipping and handling. And if you'd like to get your hands on my package, just head on over to paranormal60.com. Click on that shop tab right up at the top of the page, the store, the swag shop. Go on in, scroll down, or just look on the front page of the Paranormal 60 and you'll see another button there to order it as well. But congratulations to Edward Salmonson for being the first to get their hands on my little package. So thank you. Pretty exciting. I don't know about you guys. Wrong. It's exciting.
I think that you should rephrase that. I don't like it.
I was going to offer my big package, but I really felt that I'd be overselling. Get your hands on my little package. It's easier that way.
It's not better.
I think
you know, Sweet Tea. It sold the package, right?
How many book bundles have you sold today?
Mm-hmm. Oh, me? 32.
I don't think
same as the number of two-sentence horror stories.
Let's get into the last and final news story before we go into our two-sentence horror stories.
Yeah, let's do that.
Check this out. The world's oldest pyramid, they're saying, was built about 25,000 years ago, and it was not made by humans, according to archaeologists. Well, Guinness World Records officially lists the Djoser Step Pyramid in Egypt as the oldest pyramid in the world, built around 2630 BC. One paper published in October claimed a layer of the Ganggang Pandang pyramid in Indonesia was constructed as far back as 25,000 BC. Though there has since been doubts as to whether the structure was ever man-made at all. In research led by Danny Hillman Natawaja of the Indonesian Institute of Scientists, and published in the journal Archaeological Prospection, the academics write that the pyramid's core consists of meticulously sculpted massive andesite lava, and that the oldest construction element of the pyramid likely originated as a natural lava hill before being sculpted and then architecturally enveloped. They write, this study sheds light on advanced masonry skills dating back to the last glacial period. This finding challenges the conventional belief that human civilization and the development of advanced construction techniques emerged only with the advent of agriculture approximately 11,000 years ago. Evidence from the Ganggang Pandang and other sites such as Göbekli Tepe in Turkey suggests that advanced construction practices were already present when agriculture had perhaps not even yet been invented. The academics also claim that the builders must have possessed remarkable masonry capabilities, but one UK archaeologist has rubbished the paper, saying he is surprised it was published as is. Flint Dibble. That's his name. Flint Dibble.
Oh, Flint. Yeah.
Come on. Oh, yeah.
Flint Dibble. Who's the guy that's going to poo-poo the paper? Flint Dibble. You know, it's a Dibble thing.
Every time.
Yeah. Flint Dibble from Cardiff University told the journal Nature that there is no clear evidence to suggest the buried layers were built by humans. Nobody's saying they were built by humans, moron. It was obviously the slee stack building the ruins, moron.
Of course.
Flint
Dibble. Of course.
What an idiot.
I think that... that should be a new thing for us. Oh, we totally dibbled this story.
Yeah. He's a gonad sniffer.
Yeah. Hashtag dibble, Chachi, in case you're watching from wherever you are. Probably a cell. Material rolling down a hill is going to, on average, orient itself, he said, adding that there's no evidence of working or anything to indicate that it's man-made. Did you just look at this thing? Look at it.
It's not. This isn't man-made.
That is not man-made. No, maybe it was monkeys. Maybe it's Planet of the Apes stuff we don't even know about.
Spider monkeys.
That comment's very
masturbating monkeys.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Bill Farley, an archaeologist at Southern Connecticut's he is credited as saying the 27,000-year-old soil samples from Gunung Pandang, although accurately dated, do not carry hallmarks of human activity, such as charcoal or bone fragments. Maybe they cooked outside the pyramid.
Hey,
Ron. Don't put a fire in our pyramid. You're going to burn stuff.
Yeah, you don't poop where you eat.
You don't?
Thank you. No, Dave, don't.
That's good advice there, Greg.
I have a bathroom right next to our kitchen. That was bad planning on my part, apparently. Yeah. Snatchawaja has responded to the criticism by saying, we are really open to researchers around the world who would like to come to Indonesia and do some research program on Gunung Pandang. While the co-editor of Archaeological Prospection has confirmed an investigation has been launched into the paper. All right, Greg, I could sit here and stumble over the words repeatedly like other newscasters have done, or I can just push through them and get to the meat of the story. Pandang Bopong is the least relevant part of the entire story.
Yeah, Greg, I think you did great.
Thank you.
Greg, don't be a dibble, okay?
Thank you. Yes.
Talk about a dibble. Jesus.
37 seconds into it. Man, it.
What?
Huh?
He dibbled it? What? I don't understand what he's saying. Hey. Why did he turn himself off? Is he thinking that, does he think like a T-Rex, if we don't hear him, he doesn't exist?
Who's saying what?
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, Greg Dibble.
Dang, dang.
The name has been changed, but the man remains the same. All right, let's take one more quick little break. We'll come back, and it's two-sentence story time right here on the very best in paranormal programming. I'm Dave Schrader, and this is the Paranormal 60. My favorite spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity that you get, that wow, how have I been living like this feeling? It's kind of like when you find out that you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for just $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan. Wow, how have I been affording this? It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month. The quality that I've received from Mint Mobile is second to none, and I've tried them all. And this is an amazing company to work with that actually cares about their clients and the prices that they charge. So if you're on that fence wondering, should I make the shift? You're going to get great coverage, you're going to get great customer service, and all of the bells and whistles you expect from the bigger brand names. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans and their jaw-dropping monthly bills and unexpected overages. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans starting at just $15 a month. So to get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/P60. That's mintmobile.com/P60. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/P60. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to just $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Welcome back to the program. Let's get to it. All right. Our two-sentence horror story submissions. are in my hand. Would you like to see what the winner of tonight's two-sentence story gets?
Did they come in
I
email
form? I thought we were the judges, but go ahead.
Did all of them come in email form? Oh, look at this.
It's hot cocoa mix and a ghost mug that says, eat, drink, and be scary.
Oh, so the winner gets that in like the Halloween clearance aisle? Is that where you got that?
Oh, come Jeez. On.
What a dibble.
That was very dibblish of you.
Good God, sweet dibble.
Oh, come on. You were all thinking it.
I don't think so. LC Ann was the first one. She says, here goes the stories.
Oh, here we go. All right. Hold on, y'all.
Down in the basement, and suddenly I was being chased by something. I looked behind me to see what was chasing me, and all I could see was a red, very long, demonic hand stretching and stretching closer to me to try to bring me back down to that basement. That's our first mission. Bill Lutz, Bill in our chat room right now, always a good friend of the show, supporter as well. This is his submission. Exhausted when I came home, I was greeted when I walked in the front door by my dear Auntie Antoinette, who touched my face and told me she loved me and that tomorrow would be a better day. I wandered into the bathroom to look in the mirror, and I saw a bloody handprint on my face. And that's when I was struck by the realization that Auntie Antoinette was killed in a car wreck 20 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah, creepy.
That's good. I like it.
All right, that's a
how
first.
Many, how many sentences is it supposed to be?
Two sentences. It is. It's one really long sentence with no punctuation. It's a sentence.
Well, you throw some semicolons in there or something.
You and your fancy words. Yvonne King weighs in next. Jenna whistled while she was doing her laundry, listening to her favorite band on her headphones, clueless to the world around her. She slowly reached in, unaware of the sound coming from inside. And as she pulled out her last piece of clothes, something grabbed her hand and pulled her in.
Damn.
That's a good reason to never do laundry again, just for that right there.
Is the laundry inside of her?
No, she's... Well, forget it.
Don't even try, Colonel. He's such a dibble. Erica Marks. In the dead of night, I heard a faint tapping at my bedroom window. When I mustered the courage to look, I found my own reflection staring back at me. Except it wasn't my reflection.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Damn it.
Annie Morgan Wisniewski.
You got it.
Bing dong.
As a small child, I saw my father walk toward me. As he did, he transformed into something demonic with a red face, black hair, long red fingers, and long black nails, followed by a terrifying smile.
Is that the Colonel?
No. That's hateful. I don't know why you'd say that. All right. Terry Breeding Collins says this. As I lay in bed, I felt a cold hand grab mine from under the covers. When I turned on the light, no one was there. It was an empty room. You're going to notice a theme. A lot of these things have to do with being in bed. Tamara Lynn Fries sends in this one. And just let me remind everybody, we had like 90 some submissions. We had to pare them down to 32, meaning the 32 that seemed to most grasp the concept of this. Some of you wrote like real life stories that happened to you and tried to condense it into two sentences. That wasn't the assignment. Two sentence horror stories are just that. They're kind of like in that two sentences, it tells you all you really need to know. And it gives you that little shiver up and down your spine. So that's it. Some people send poetry. I'm not including those either. They were delicious poems, and you can read them all. And you're saying to yourself, but Dave, where can I find all of these amazing things that you're not talking about on the show? Well, you can go over to the Dave Schrader All-Inclusive Fan Group on Facebook, and you'll see the contest time. Just scroll down the page, and then you can read all of the submissions that were there, except the ones that I erased, which were comments about my hair or when am I coming back with Holzer files, things that had nothing to do with the contest. Everything else should still be there. All right, here we go. Tamara Lynn Fries. Hearing a plea for help, he crept up the stairs into the abandoned house, skin tingling. As he soon realized his mistake, his fate was sealed as the doors locked behind him, and the cries for help he heard turned into evil laughter, plunging into him with the intent to consume him through all of his childhood fears. Well, that was a good one.
Dang. A little
kill factor.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna try muting Greg because I muted Sweet Tea on that one. I'm hearing myself echo back, and I'm not sure where it's coming from. Might be the kernel.
But here, I'll mute myself. How's that?
Okay. Let's try that. Okay.
Please.
This comes from Laura Klassman.
Dibble.
I squeezed my eyes shut as the feeling of dread overcame me as I attempted to sleep. Feeling eyes on me, I immediately snapped my eyes open, and standing there before me was a hooded man holding a butcher's knife. Do you think he was going to ask her if he wants to carve up some salami or something?
Like he's got
making sausages.
Maybe he was a baker. Maybe it wasn't a butcher. Maybe it was just a baker.
That is.
How many bakers carry butcher's knives?
That's why
I don't know. I'm not a baker, Dave. I'm just
maybe he's a candlestick maker. You know,
it could be.
Too. Yeah. Yeah. When you make cinnamon rolls, how do you cut them all up? When you roll the thing up, and you get
not with a butcher's knife.
Mm-mm.
That's a carving knife, I think. I think this woman might have nailed it the best so far tonight. Dorothy Lowry. It lived. I didn't. Two sentences.
Nice. Good job.
Two word, two sentences.
Good job.
That is some, that's contraction. That's good. I like that's that. That's interesting. Let's move on.
My favorite.
William Brower. Waking up in the steel space covered with a sheet, I kicked my bare foot against the shelf door, but to no avail, as the medical examiner continued his recording on the other side.
That's good.
Yeah, that's like a nightmare.
I hate those.
One of my nightmares. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Do you guys remember the story that came out like 10 years ago? The old lady that passed away, and then when they came to reclaim her body, they opened up the door. She was flipped on her stomach. Both of her ankles were broken because she wasn't dead when they put her in the drawer, and she was kicking all night trying to get out.
I do not remember that.
Oh, that's a true story. Oh, it's horrible. Oh, my God. So Winnie, I don't remember which relative. It was like a great grandmother of hers. And I believe this is when they used to have like the viewings in the house. Her grandmother passed away. She was laid out in the front room. They all went to bed that night. When they came back in the morning, she was dead in like her favorite seat. She had climbed out of the coffin and started knitting and then died for real. That just shows you don't knit. Knitting kills.
It does.
Yeah, it's obvious. I think I'm right on that story. Winnie, if I didn't butcher it too bad, you can come down and tell it at the end.
Is Winnie dead too? Why are you talking to the...
She's in the upstairs area. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
exactly.
I keep her chained to the wall in the room above me. Keep it quiet. Sasha Morer says, I began to feel my chest swelling, forehead decorated in beads of sweat, my breath turning against me. What I thought was anxiety began to feel strangely like hands seeking to claw their way out of my body. Ooh, that's a good one too. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Becky Steffenhagen. Daddy, my kitty came home. But what she didn't know is that I'd buried him 2 weeks ago.
Huh?
People like 2 weeks. People like it. They always give that kind of 2 week window.
2 weeks.
Yeah. That's a good one. Melinda Freeman says, no matter how many times she painted over the canvas, no matter how many times she tried to paint sunshine and flowers, what flowed from the brush was the most horrific, violent, disturbing images that were not her own. Ooh, that's very artsy. I like that. Yeah. That's an artsy one right there. Trisha Reed. As I lay paralyzed with terror, I watch as the Reaper comes to collect. Now I watch the wispy remnants of who I once was float into the opening portal of eternity.
I don't.
She dissipated and she watched herself come through. But she wrote it so eloquently.
Eloquently?
It was very eloquent the way she wrote it. And I loved it all to pieces. So I think maybe because she wrote it so beautifully, it made it less frightening and intimidating.
Yeah, I got caught in the beauty of the poem.
Yeah. Loki Trout throws us $4.99. A dibble is a painted or pointed wooden stick for making holes in the ground so that seeds, seedlings, or small bulbs can be planted.
Okay. Back in the old days, we called that a stob.
Back in the old days, we called that a stob.
What you do with that stob, boy?
Good God. What you do with all that junk? All that junk up in your trunk. All right. Lara.
Not up in
the Where did we just go right now?
Can I say their names without you guys being so rude and interrupting them? Let sure. them get their credit. Lara Sandling Bennett. I swear, slap the living hell out of somebody. Lara Sandling Bennett. It was Wednesday night, and I was so delighted that my favorite show, The Paranormal 60, was on. But when I looked, I discovered the show had been canceled.
No! That's scary.
A good horror story. Yeah, that's a good story. I appreciate you pandering to me.
And replaced by The Paranormal 90.
Yeah. Oh, my God. What the? What happens? Is this guy just going to bellyache and bitch and moan about going over? It's like, what is this, Colonel? Almost 3 years, and this guy just keeps whining about
it. 90 minutes. He told me with the paranormal 50.
Yeah, it's just
it's very weird that the guy whining about this time constraints is the one that wants to do all the after shows.
That's right. Weird. Oh, yeah. Why are we hanging longer afterwards? And the one time I do, he's like, I'm never doing that again. He's such a dibble. Yeah, Greg Snob. Right? Yep.
Dibblish snob.
Right. Here we have one from a guest, a special guest.
Be nice to him.
Jenny Monroe, host of the Monsters Lounge podcast. Heard right here on the Paranormal 60.
I've heard of that show.
It's great.
I shouted into the cellar, who's there?
You know who, the voice replied.
In my voice.
Yeah. I would like to award her automatically the wrapping from this mug.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's so sweet.
Congratulations. We can't give you the gift because this is for. No, right.
Wrap it in that blue tarp.
Yeah. Emily Heap sends this story in. I had aged very well, and my sister always joked that, like Dorian Gray, there was a portrait of me aging and recording all of my transgressions. Just now, she showed the portrait to me. Right before destroying it, and I don't dare look in the mirror. Mm-hmm. That's a good
one. I ain't looking in the mirror.
Misty Menagerie. I woke up to the sound of my phone ringing. When I answered, I heard my own voice whispering, "Dump. I'm calling from the other side." It was the voice whispering on the other line. I did. See, I got all whispering like that.
Oh,
yeah.
It was too quiet. You need to do a theater whisper.
What? Didn't that work? You couldn't hear me?
Theater whisper to the back row.
I think you guys are high. All right. This comes to us from another celebrity, ladies and gentlemen, from Chris Fleming, host of Spooky Ireland and Haunted Ireland on Travel Channel. In the dead of night, I felt my dog's comforting lick on my hand dangling from the bed, only to remember a second later as icy dread washed over me. My dog had died yesterday. Then the licking stopped, replaced by a low, guttural growl right beneath my bed. That comes from Chris Fleming. Now we have another story from Chris Fleming, host of Spooky Scotland and Haunted Scotland. Two totally different people, I'm sure.
Okay. Yeah.
In the middle of the night, I woke up to find what looked like an old, decayed version of myself standing at the foot of my bed, mouthing the words, "Don't." The next morning, the owners of the B&B... You still couldn't hear me?
No. Use your theater whisper voice.
Trust them. Is that any better?
Yeah, a little bit.
I heard it, but it's not much better.
You can't hear the whisper?
You gotta whisper like this. Whisper
like that's not
a word. I mean, no. It's creepy, but no one can hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Whatever. See, yes, whatever. You suck.
You know, it's
all right. Okay, here comes my whispery voice. Are you ready?
Yeah.
In the middle of the night, I woke up to find what looked like an old, decayed version of myself standing at the foot of my bed, mouthing the words, "Don't trust them.
How it's don't trust them.
Shut up.
Don't trust them.
I don't. Not any of them on the screen right now. The next morning, the owners of the B&B insisted I must have had a nightmare, but the muddy footprints leading from my bed to the locked basement door told a different story.
Wow. Threw that little zinger in there.
Zinger is what it is. A zinger's dinger. Rebecca Sams Codner has this to share. In the middle of the night, I wake up to the sound of kids singing in the room next to me. Then it hit me. I live alone in this two-story house located miles from anything. Angel DiGregorio. Hope I said that right. I turn towards my niece to share the new song I just heard. But she isn't over 9 feet tall, pure black with no features.
Jeez.
Oh, that'd be creepy.
That is good.
Turn around to talk to your niece and there's just this giant beast in your room.
I kind of like that.
Fashionably Twisted sends in this story. It was a dark and stormy night. Rain slashed against the window. The click of the typewriter, the only sound. Blood suddenly dripping down. Horrified, I stopped typing as the blood landed on the keys with enough strength to type out two words. You're next. Could you hear that one that time?
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. That wasn't a whisper, though. That's probably the reason why.
Apparently, my whispers aren't coming through.
Yeah.
She's got a theater whisper.
As Rihanna Trudell sends in this one, she came home from work and smells something good cooking on the stove. The table was set for four, but she lives alone. It's very Goldilocks, do you think?
Yeah. Mm.
Was there porridge involved? That's a good one. I like it.
Good one. I liked it.
Mario Andrew Neophytu. I hope I said that right. Its serpentous tongue feathered our toes as the two of us. I just can't get past that sentence.
You know what we're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Its serpentous tongue feathered our toes.
Did Quentin Tarantino write this one?
Does sound like, or Dan Schneider from Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. Its serpentous tongue feathered our toes as the two of us were frozen by each other's palpitating embrace, numbed by the growth of icy shards being blown along our legs. Our eyes shifted against our will, glancing down to the image of a shadow, slick and oily. It reared dark from what was broken by the stained, serrated teeth that cradled its horrifying mouth. It's a lot of fancy-ass words.
Yeah. It's like
Robbie Miles Boyson. Robbie's been on a bunch of our trips. Robbie says, the voice commanded me from the total darkness of my dream. You must choose. Which of these two shall die? I panicked, mind racing. Don't think, don't think. No name, no name, no name. And I swear to you, I did all I could. But oh my God, I'm so sorry. I jolted awake sobbing. Greg Lawson.
Thank God I'm Greg Staub.
That's a good time to have changed your name. Yeah. What timing?
Yep.
What timing?
Nice.
Mm-hmm. I like that one. That was chilling.
Thanks.
Derek Lugo says, the last thing I saw before the power went out was my own face staring back at me from the television screen, mouthing the words, you shouldn't have looked.
Looked at what? What did I look at?
I don't know, but you shouldn't have looked. Christina Ray, I woke up to my daughter smiling at me from the corner of the room. I was horrified when I looked over and saw her sleeping peacefully next to me. My daughter and I had so much fun with this one and came up with so many more. Thanks for the opportunity and have a great day. Oh, that's so cheery. And I love that it was a family affair, that she incorporated her daughter into helping her write this. Pandering a bit. I think she's pandering a bit, but it is still a very good story.
It's over there.
Jill Thiel says, in a desolate town, shadows whisper secrets of the past, compelling the living to fulfill cursed destinies they cannot escape. Nightly, an unseen terror emerges from the fog, its eyes glowing with a hunger for souls, turning each breath of its victims into their last. Jean Kish Donovan, my daughter was talking to me in the kitchen while she was pulling up in her car out front. Ooh, doppelganger.
I like it.
Pamela Jumper Thurman, our final story of the night. I awoke hot. The air was stuffy. I couldn't stretch out. A scream rose in my throat as I realized I was in a closed casket.
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, those are horrible.
Hate that.
I mean, it's a good story, Pam, but
but I don't like being in a casket.
Horrible. Okay, let me tabulate the results that you two sent me during the episode.
That's right.
Let me see. Okay.
So much computing.
I like it. I like it.
Thank you.
Oh, well, kind of in that vein, it appears William Brower is our winner, waking up in the steel space covered with a sheet. I kicked my bare foot against the shelf door, but to no avail, as the medical examiner continued his recording on the other side.
I'm glad you picked mine.
William Brower, congratulations. You are the winner. You are the winner of this spooky mug. Spooky mug. Say it with me. Spooky mug.
Spooky you can mug. See
and some spooky mug.
Come on, spooky
be
mug. Drinking,
be scary. Congratulations. All of them were gems, delights to read and share with all of you. To listen to our boy, there's almost 700 people watching live with us tonight. Welcome to the Paranormal 60. This is our Wednesday night edition when we like to cut loose, have a little fun, share new stories from around the world, banter back and forth, and share things from you. Sometimes it's emails, sometimes requests, sometimes we have you live on here with us, but we thank you and welcome you for joining us. I don't know what kind of weird stuff the Colonel is doing, flipping his screen around. That's it for tonight's program. We have one last thing to unveil tonight.
Normally
I play the out theme and that's it. But tonight, because it is the first time we're introducing the out theme with the addition of Sweet Tea, ta-da! We're going to stay for her live reaction. Greg put this video together himself. Ladies and gentlemen, this is our brand new end theme for Wednesday night. We'll be back next Monday with a brand new episode of the very best in paranormal talk radio. And you will not want to miss this one. It's going to be good. That's Monday night right here on the Paranormal 60.
Like me, with poltergeist and ghosts and blues and UAVs. You miss a word, you do a shot. It starts to snowball and we laugh a lot. It's just like drinking with your TV friends. I'll be passed out before tonight's show ends. Dream that the aliens are taking me away. I'll go wake up for something late on Saturday. It's Wednesday night and I'm alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Sweet Tea, Hockey, and the Colonel, and the Paranormal Detective, all retreaters got me, and they all will be directed. He's got protective bracelets and some crazy magic tricks. Even Scully cannot save him from the voice of Stevie Nicks. Traitors on. Don't be alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Now one day they might even put me on a show. There's a ghost in my mom's basement. Man, I live down there, I know. It's Wednesday night, don't be alone. The Paranormal 60's on. Traitors on. Words is on.
I'm uncomfortable.
Telling me.